thoughts all weekend was not Hannah, but Grace. Christ, and don't get me started on Monday's oral spectacular. When I jerked off last night, it was to the memory of Grace's firm, creamy thighs and hot, tight, "Logan, hey." I blink in confusion as Grace enters my line of vision. For a second, I wonder if my dirty mind somehow conjured up the image of her. But nope, she's actually here, standing 5 feet from the box office. "Hey," I greet her. She smiles, tucking a strand of hair behind her ear. She's in a tight sweater, black yoga pants, and an unzipped blue windbreaker, looking like she stepped off the pages of an Abercrombie & Fitch catalog. I kind of like the whole comfy but hot look she has going on. I hear a soft ahem, and notice there's someone standing beside her. A curvy, raven-haired girl in a brown leather skirt and fuzzy red top, and she's gaping at me, like jaw-scraping the floor gaping. Someone pokes me from behind. "Dude," Dean says irritably, "stick to the plan. You, tickets. Me, popcorn." I thrust out the $20 bill in my hand. "Change of plans. I'll grab the snacks." He rolls his eyes, then spares an admiring glance at Grace's friend's tits before ambling off to grab the tickets. "What are you guys here to see?" I ask Grace. She grins. "What do you think?" She holds up 2 tickets and I chuckle when I glimpse the title of the Statham movie. Of course. I forgot what an action nut she is. "That's what we're watching too. We should all sit together." Her friend makes another squeaky noise. Actually, it's more of a gasp, with a bit of a wheeze thrown in there. There's a lot going on in that one little sound. Grace gestures to her friend. "This is Ramona. Ramona, this is Logan." The friend looks me up and down. "I know who he is." Aw, hell. I've seen that look before. Many, many times, on the faces of many, many women. As if she's picturing me naked and inside her. Too bad I'm not interested in fulfilling that fantasy. I'm wholly focused on Grace, and the parade of wicked images flashing through my mind. Like the way her eyes glazed over when my tongue first touched her clit, and the breathy noises she made when she came. And, "It's Grace's birthday," the friend announces. Grace's features crease in discomfort.
"Ramona."
"Shit, it is?" I grin at her. "Happy birthday, gorgeous." I don't miss the way her friend's jaw slackens again, or how Grace shifts in visible embarrassment.
"Thanks."
Her bottom lip juts out glumly. "I'm 19 today. Go me." I snicker. "I take it you're not a birthday person."
"Absolutely not. My mother scarred me for life."
Her friend suddenly snorts.
"Hey, remember the year at the spring fair? When your mom crashed the stage during that folk band set and performed a birthday rap for you? You mean, do I remember the day I researched how to emancipate myself from my parents?"
Grace replies in a dry voice.
"Vividly."
Ramona shoots me a conspiratorial look.
"I wanted to invite some people over to the dorm to celebrate, but she threatened to cut off both my arms and feed them to me if I did. So we compromised by going to the movies."
We're interrupted by Dean, who frowns when he sees my empty hands.
"For fuck's sake, do I have to do everything?"
Then, as if remembering he's in the presence of 2 very pretty girls, he breaks out in a grin.
"Also, are you going to introduce me or what?
This is Grace and..." Shit, I've already forgotten the friend's name.
"Ramona,"
she supplies. And that hungry gaze fixates on Dean now. She can ogle him as much as she wants, but I can pretty much guarantee that the moment he finds out she's a freshman, Dean won't be ogling her back. For all his man-whoring, the guy has a strict rule about not doing freshmen. I'm not sure I blame him, considering our little stalker incident at the start of the year. Dean had hooked up with a freshman who, after one night of exquisite passion, decided they were madly in love. She then proceeded to show up at our house at all hours of the day and night, sometimes wearing clothes, other times not wearing clothes, usually armed with flowers and love letters and, my personal favorite,
a framed photo of herself wearing Dean's hockey jersey. Sometimes when I'm falling asleep, I can still hear her wailing, "Dean," outside my window. Needless to say, Dean's avoided the young ones ever since. He calls them level 10 clingers. The four of us stop at the concessions counter so Dean can get his popcorn, and a few minutes later we enter the dark theater, where the previews have just started. The auditorium is packed. There's a better chance of Jason Statham himself showing up to offer commentary on the movie than of us finding four seats together. But from where I stand, I spot several available two-seat blocks. The girls are walking ahead of us, so I lean closer to Dean and murmur, "Mind if we split up? I want to sit with Grace. It's her birthday." His gaze rests on Ramona's undeniably great ass. "I can live with that." Both Grace and Ramona nod in agreement when I suggest sitting separately. Ramona instantly links her arm through Dean's and whispers something in his ear that makes him chuckle. And then they shuffle forward in the dark to look for seats. Grace and I do the same. We find two empty spots halfway up the auditorium, right on the aisle. And once we're settled, she slides closer to whisper, "Are you sure your friend is okay sitting with Ramona? Because she's absolutely going to hit on him the whole time." Her lips are practically on my ear, and she smells incredible. I can't name flowery scents to save my life, but hers is sweet and girly. And when she runs a hand through her hair, a whiff of it floats into my nostrils. "Don't worry, Dean can handle himself," I whisper back with a grin. We turn to the screen, which is showing a preview that instantly captivates Grace. It's some shoot-'em-up explosion porn with big stars and even bigger guns, and her excited expression makes me want to kiss her so fucking bad. Her love for action movies is a major turn-on. Before I can stop myself, I reach out and take her hand. She jerks in surprise, then relaxes and looks over with a smile before refocusing her attention on the screen. I still can't figure her out. She's sweet, but she doesn't come off as naive. She gives off an innocent vibe, but she also seems incredibly secure with herself. She doesn't barrage me with questions or flirt up a storm. Hell, she hasn't even brought up the fact that I play hockey, which is usually the first thing chicks do when I'm around. It's crazy how I hardly know a thing about her, yet I had my face between her legs a couple days ago, and, oh shit, now I'm thinking about her pussy. Wonderful. And now I have a boner of monstrous proportions. I clumsily shift in my seat, resisting the urge to slide my hand down my pants and do some discreet rearranging. Or maybe to slide my hand down her pants and give her a birthday present to remember. I do neither. The sounds of crunching popcorn and crinkling candy wrappers echo all around us, a blatant reminder that we're surrounded by people. I try to concentrate on the opening credits flashing on the screen, but 10 minutes into the movie, and my boner's still going strong. How long does an erection have to last before it's considered bad news? 3 hours? 4? No way this movie is that long, right? God, I fucking hope not.
Chapter 10. Grace. For the first time in forever, I'm not angry with Ramona for persuading me to go out on my birthday. I wanted to avoid all the fanfare by simply staying home, but she dangled Jason Statham under my nose like a little British carrot. We've been friends long enough that Ramona knows all my weaknesses and exploits them at all costs. But I owe her big for using Statham as a bargaining chip tonight. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting next to Logan right now. With that said, I'm still not sure how I feel about him. He didn't make the best first impression when he raced out of my dorm that first night. But I can't deny that his second impression was a screaming orgasm success. So I guess he's got a checkmark in both the pros and cons columns at the moment. Make that 2 checkmarks in the pros department because halfway through the movie, he kisses me. Not a peck, not a lingering caress of his lips. It's a hot, tongue-tangling kiss that makes my heart pound harder and louder than the deafening explosions blasting from the screen. I lose myself in it, in him, in the skillful stroke of his tongue and the warmth of his hand as it curls around the side of my neck. It isn't until I hear chuckles from the guys on the other side of me that I remember where we are. I self-consciously pull away, and Logan's heavy-lidded gaze rests on my mouth, which is wet and swollen from his kisses. He leans in closer.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you care if you missed a few minutes of the movie?
I think it over. 2?
Thank God.
He tugs me to my feet. Since we're on the aisle, we don't have to shuffle past anyone, thus sparing ourselves and everyone around us that awful, excuse me, so sorry, disruption that moviegoers hate. Still holding hands, we tiptoe down the steps. I spot Dean and Ramona's heads near the front row, but neither of them notices us making our escape.
Where are we going?
I whisper. All I get in response is a mischievous smile. He leads me down the dark corridor toward the auditorium doors, but rather than go through them, he veers left and turns the knob of a door I hadn't even realized was there. We're in a closet. It's pitch black and reeks of cleaning supplies, but suddenly, Logan's body presses up against me, and all I can smell is him. I gasp when his mouth covers mine, because I didn't see the kiss coming. I can't see anything, actually, but I sure as hell can feel. The hard muscles of Logan's chest straining beneath his long-sleeved shirt, the seductive coaxing of his tongue as it slips through my parted lips and fills my mouth. I wrap my arms around his neck and eagerly return the kiss. In a heartbeat, he backs me into the wall, one muscular thigh thrusting between my legs. The unexpected contact triggers an instant jolt of arousal that spirals to my core.
He kisses me like he can't get enough, sucking on my tongue like it's made of candy.
Then he cups my ass and yanks me closer, grinding our lower bodies together.
I wish I could fuck you right here.
He growls the words against my neck before sinking his teeth into it, bringing a sting of pain that he immediately soothes with his tongue. I hadn't realized my neck possessed so many sensitive nerve endings. I'm on fire, every inch of skin prickling with awareness, tingling each time his lips travel over my feverish flesh. My clit swells, aches, and the tension between my legs grows and grows until I'm shamelessly grinding against his thigh in a desperate attempt to ease the ache. I've never fooled around in public before. And the notion that anyone could walk in and catch us right now is so thrilling that my hips move faster, craving more friction.
Oh, fuck, keep doing that, baby. He mutters, rub your pussy against me.
Oh, God. Dirty talk is different and exciting, and I'm so turned on I can no longer formulate coherent thoughts. He kisses a path back to my mouth, his tongue plunging deep, mimicking the movements of his hips. If someone told me a week ago that John Logan would be dry humping me in a movie theater closet, I would have laughed my fool head off. But here we are, and it's frickin' amazing. My clit throbs every time the seam of his fly presses into it, and either I'm completely misinterpreting the wild tingling in my core, or I might actually come this way, fully clothed, with no contact other than his thigh rubbing my... Oh, God, yeah, I'm about to come. A desperate noise tears out of my mouth, but it's instantly swallowed up by another blistering kiss from Logan, whose hips rock harder, faster, until the knot of pleasure explodes in a rush of pure bliss that sweeps through me, buzzing in my fingers and curling my toes. Logan's head falls in the crook of my neck and he lets out a low grunt, breathing hard against my skin as his entire body trembles.
Fuck. That was so hot,
he groans a few seconds later. His arms wrap around me,
holding me tight to his rock-hard chest as we both recover, our breathing labored and our heartbeats hammering in unison. A full minute passes before he releases me and takes a step away. My eyes have adjusted to the darkness, and I see him reach for a stack of paper napkins on a nearby shelf. His hand dips inside his pants before crumpling the napkin and tossing it in the wastebasket by the door. Then he's back, his voice husky as he brings his mouth to my ear.
Happy birthday.
I start to laugh. I have no idea why, but this entire hookup was so surreal that I find myself quaking in amusement, which elicits a deep chuckle from him. Thank you, I answer between giggles. His lips graze mine for one fleeting moment, and then he takes my hand and leads me to the door. He pauses in front of it, bowing gallantly before holding it open for me.
After you, gorgeous.
Ah, hell, those three words turn my heart from a solid to a liquid, a warm, gooey pile of mush in my chest. Well, at least I've figured out how I feel about him. I think I might be crushing on the guy. Hard.
Logan. The next evening, I'm battling Tucker to the death in an intense game of Ice Pro when Dean wanders into the living room, shirtless and barefoot. He rakes a hand through his spiky blonde hair before settling on the armchair next to the couch. Listen, I need to talk to you about the freshman. What freshman? Tucker voices the question even as his eyes stay glued to the screen. Mine do, too. You mean Grace? I say absently. My team is kicking Tuck's ass, probably because the idiot refuses to play as anyone other than Dallas, who's been eliminated from playoff contention. What, a million years in a row? I, of course, play exclusively as Boston, because that's the team I grew up cheering for and the one I envisioned myself playing for someday. Yes, I mean Grace. Unless there's another freshman you took to the movies and sucked face with the whole time. Dean's remark oozes sarcasm. I pause the game and take a sip of my Coke. Yep, Coke. I'm still making an effort to dial down the partying. Well, that and my first exam is tomorrow, and I don't want to show up hungover. I didn't take her to the movies, I answer. We ran into them there, remember? Oh, I remember. I also remember the sucking face part. Seriously, bro, every time I turned around, you were going at it like porn stars. It's a good thing I haven't told him what we did in the closet. He'd probably have a field day with that one. Wait, you're going out with a freshman? Tuck's expression is unreadable, but I'm pretty sure I hear a chord of relief in his voice. Nah, we're not going out. Good, Dean says, nodding briskly. Those younger chicks bring way too much drama to the table. Tucker snickers. Drama? Is that what we're calling the Bethany incident now? Because that wasn't drama, dude. It was stalking. It was a pain in the ass, that's what it was, Dean mutters. And thanks so much for reminding me of it. Now I'm going to have nightmares tonight, jerk. I roll my eyes. Don't worry, Grace isn't like that. No drama whatsoever with her. Which is one of the reasons I'm so drawn to her. She's the most uncomplicated girl I've ever met. Plus, when I'm with her, I don't think about Hannah at all, which is, so you're using her to not think about Hannah? The accusation flies into my head like a hockey team on the offensive. No, of course I'm not using her. Am I? No, that's crazy. I genuinely like Grace. And I fucking love hooking up with her. But she does happen to be a great distraction from all this Hannah bullshit. A great distraction? Jesus Christ. I'm such a fucking bastard. As guilt floods my stomach, I suddenly comprehend the irrefutable shittiness of what I've done. And in that moment, I realize I can't see Grace again. How can I when a part of me views her as a distraction? When I still experience that awful clench in my gut every time I see Garrett and Wellesley together. When I'm still consumed with envy and anxiety and so much self-loathing. I'd texted Grace my number earlier and was planning on asking her if she wanted to hang out tomorrow night. But there's no fucking way I can do that now. I might be an asshole for unintentionally using her as a diversion, but now that I'm conscious of my assholeness, I refuse to let it continue. It wouldn't be fair to Grace. No drama? Dean echoes, jolting me from my troubled thoughts. Yeah, sorry to break it to you, but the drama train has already left the station. That's what I came down here to tell you. I frown. What are you talking about? You know Piper? Tucker snorts. Did you really just ask that? We all know Piper. My frown deepens, because if Piper Stevens is involved in whatever Dean's about to tell me, then it sure as hell ain't gonna be good. Piper is the puck bunny of all puck bunnies. She's also hot as fuck, which is why half the guys on the team have slept with her. Which, by the way, is an accomplishment she's incredibly proud of and happy to advertise. I have no problem with that, though. Every time I hear someone refer to her as a slut, I threaten a beatdown, because what the fuck? Most of the dudes I know have screwed their way through college, and nobody bats an eye when they do it. So no, I'm not about to judge Piper for her very active sex life. Nope. What I have a problem with is the fact that she's a total bitch who spreads nasty rumors and gossips more than a Hollywood tabloid. I was chilling with Nico this afternoon and he told me Piper's been saying shit about your freshman, Dean says flatly. My spine stiffens. What? Yeah, apparently Piper's little sister is friends with Grace. And I guess Grace told her about the two of you hooking up. Except for some reason, the little sister thinks she's making it up. Are you asking me or telling? I grumble. Both? I don't know. I've given up on trying to understand the complexities of women. Preaching to the choir, Tuck says solemnly. Dean makes an exasperated noise in the back of his throat. All I know is that Piper's spreading it around that some pathetic freshman is lying about doing you, which is obviously bullshit since I had a front row seat to your hookup last night. You know, when your tongue was bobbing for apples in the back of her throat. The theater was packed with Briar students. If you saw us, then I'm sure other people did too. Oh, they saw you, dude. Then why is anyone even buying Piper's bullshit? I wasn't trying to hide that we were going at it. Hey, if you say shit with confidence, people are gonna believe it. He shrugs. Anyway, figured you should know that Piper's being Piper again. She's tweeting about it too, Nico said. She made up some catty hashtag about your girl. What? I snatch my phone off the coffee table and launch the Twitter app. What's the hashtag? No idea. I'm sure you can find it if you go on Piper's account. I quickly type Piper's name in the search box, click on her profile, and proceed to skim the first dozen or so tweets on the page. Each one causes the anger in my gut to burn and bubble and simmer, until finally it boils over and sends me stumbling to my feet in pure outrage. Oh, hell no.
Chapter 11. Grace. You know those anxiety dreams where you're walking down the hall in high school or getting up on the stage of an auditorium to give a big speech, and you suddenly realize you're buck naked and everyone is staring at you? And then all those pairs of eyes get bigger and bigger and it feels like hot lasers boring into your skin? I am currently living that dream. Sure, I'm fully clothed, but despite Ramona's numerous assurances that nobody is staring at me, I know I'm not imagining the curious looks and knowing smirks from my fellow students. Damn Maya Stevens to hell. That bitch did the impossible. She made me afraid of walking into Carver Hall, my favorite place on campus. It's actually rather impressive that even limited by 140 characters, Maya's sister managed to spin a beautiful tale of a pitiful woe-is-me heroine whose fierce yearning for a certain hockey player leads her to fabricate a grand love affair filled with burning loins and endless passion. In other words, Piper's calling me a fucking liar. This is so humiliating, I mutter as I pick at the chicken stir fry on my plate. Can we please just go? Ramona's chin sticks out in an obstinate pose. No, you need to show people that you don't give a rat's ass about what Piper is saying.
Easier said than done. My brain knows that I shouldn't care about some asinine Twitter bash fest, but my stomach hasn't received the memo. Every time the words hashtag graceless liar flash in my head, my insides twist into a mortified pretzel. What the hell is the matter with people? It's infuriating how they grant themselves the right to say whatever hurtful poison they want without giving a shit about the person they're hurting. Actually, you know what? I'm not even pissed at the rumor mongers. I'm pissed at whoever invented the internet and handed the assholes in the world a platform on which to spew their venom. Fucking internet. My best friend treats my silence as an invitation to keep babbling. Piper's a bitch, okay? You know how possessive she is about hockey players. She acts like every single one of them belongs to her, which is total bullshit. She's probably consumed with jealousy that you managed to land one of the star players who, by the way, Ramona lowers her voice to a conspiratorial pitch. She's been chasing after since freshman year, but he keeps shutting her down. Sweet mother of Moses, now we're gossiping about Piper? Are there any mature adults at this motherfucking university?
Can we please not talk about her?
I clench my teeth, which makes it difficult to take a bite of the noodles I've just raised to my mouth. Fine, she relents. But know that I've got your back on this, babe. Nobody talks shit about my BFF and lives to tell about it. I decide not to point out that Piper wouldn't have been talking shit in the first place if someone hadn't implied to Maya that I'd made everything up.
If you want, we can talk about my misery, she says glumly, as in the fact that Dean didn't ask for my number after the movie last night.
Ramona stops talking when footsteps sound from behind us. My shoulders tense, then relax when I realize the footsteps belong to Jess. Then they tense all over again because it's Jess. Lovely. Let another round of torture commence.
Hey! Jess greets me, her eyes awash with sympathy. I'm so sorry about this Twitter bullshit. Maya shouldn't have said anything to her sister. She's such a gossip.
If I had a dictionary on me, I would have opened it to the H's, passed it to Jess, and forced her to read the definition of hypocrite. Luckily, my phone buzzes before I give in and hurl a bitchy retort her way. When I see Logan's name on the screen, my heart does an involuntary flip. I'm tempted to hop up on the table and wave the phone around to prove to everyone in Carver Hall that, contrary to what Piper Stevens has posited, John Logan is aware of my existence. But I resist the urge, because unlike some people, I don't need a dictionary reminder. I already know the meaning of futile. Logan's message is short. Him, where you at? I quickly type back. Dining hall. Him. Which one? Me. Carver. No response. Okay, then. I'm not sure what the point of that conversation was, but his consequent silence has a dampening effect on my already flailing self-confidence. I've been dying to talk to him since last night, but he hasn't called, texted, or attempted to make plans. And finally he gets in touch and this is the result? Two questions followed by crickets. I'm horrified to realize I'm on the verge of tears. I'm not sure who I'm even upset with. Logan? Piper? Ramona? Myself? But it doesn't matter. I refuse to cry in the middle of the dining hall or give anyone the satisfaction of seeing me rush out 5 minutes after I got here. The girls at the neighboring table haven't stopped smirking since I sat down, and I can still feel them watching me. I can't make out a word of their hushed discussion, but when I glance over, all five of them quickly avert their gazes. Ignore them.
Although my appetite has disappeared right along with my self-esteem, I force myself to eat my dinner. Every last bite, shoving stir-fry down my throat while pretending to care about Ramona and Jess's conversation, which has blessedly shifted to a topic that doesn't involve me. 15 minutes. That's how long I last before I can no longer take it. My eyes are actually sore from the incessant blinking required to staunch the threatening flow of tears. I'm about to scrape my chair back and feed my friends an excuse about needing to study when they both fall silent. Jess literally stops talking mid-sentence. The table beside us has gone suspiciously quiet as well. Ramona looks like she's fighting a smile as she peers past my shoulders in the direction of the door. Frowning, I shift in my chair, turn my head, and find Logan standing there.
"Hey,"
he says easily. I'm so surprised to see him that all I can manage is a dumbfounded look. With me sitting down and him looming over me, he appears even bigger than usual. A Briar hockey jersey stretches across his massive shoulders, his dark hair windblown and cheeks flushed with exertion as if he was just out for a run. Our gazes lock for one heart-stopping moment, and then he does the absolute last thing I expect. He leans down and kisses me. On the mouth, with tongue, right there in the dining hall. When he pulls back, I'm gratified to find that Ramona and Jess are slack-jawed, and so are the girls at the next table. Not feeling so chatty anymore, are you? I'm still basking in the glow of victory when Logan flashes me that crooked grin I love so much.
Are you ready to go, gorgeous?
We didn't have plans. He knows that, and I know that. But I'm not about to let anyone else know it. So I play along by answering, "Yep." I start to get up. Let me just bring back this tray.
Don't worry about it. I'll do it.
He plucks the tray out of my hands and says,
"Nice to see you again, Ramona."
And then plants another kiss on my lips before striding toward the tray return counter. Every female in the room admires the way his black cargo pants hug his spectacular ass, myself included. Snapping out of my butt-leering trance, I turn to my friends, who still look dazed. "Sorry to eat and run, but I have plans tonight." Logan comes back a moment later, and I paste on the brightest smile I can muster as he takes my hand and leads me out of the dining hall. The second I slide into the passenger seat of his pickup truck, the dam I've struggled to keep intact all evening shatters to pieces. As the tears spill over, I make a frantic attempt to wipe them away with my sleeves before he notices, but it's too late.
Hey, don't cry.
He quickly reaches inside the center console and pulls out a travel pack of tissues. Damn it. I can't believe I'm bawling in front of him. I sniffle as he hands me the pack. Thank you.
No prob.
No, not just for the tissues. Thank you for showing up and rescuing me. This whole day has been so humiliating, I mumble. He sighs.
I guess you saw that Twitter feed.
My embarrassment triples. Just so you know, I haven't been going around and telling everyone about us. The only person who knows we hooked up is Ramona.
Obs. She was there at the movies.
His smile is reassuring.
Don't worry. You didn't strike me as the type to be and be.
I offer a blank stare. Bed and breakfast? He snickers.
No. Bag and brag.
Bag and brag? I'm laughing through my tears because the phrase is so absurd. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Trust me, it is. The puck bunnies excel at it.
His voice softens.
And just so you know, the chick who started the Twitter bullshit, huge puck bunny. And she's still pissed at me because I turned her down last year.
Why did you do that? I've met Maya's sister and she's beautiful.
Because she's pushy? And kind of annoying, if I'm being honest. He turns the key in the ignition and gives me a sidelong look. Do you want me to drive you home? Because I was thinking of taking you somewhere else first, if you're interested.
My curiosity is piqued. Where?
His blue eyes twinkle mischievously. It's a surprise.
A good surprise?
Is there any other kind?
Yeah. I can think of 100 bad surprises off the top of my head.
Name one.
He challenges. Okay. You're set up on a blind date and you show up at the restaurant and Ted Bundy is sitting at the table. Logan grins at me.
Bundy is your go-to answer for everything, huh?
It appears so.
Fine. Well, point taken, and I promise it's a good surprise, or in the very least, it's neutral.
All right, surprise away then. He pulls out of the parking lot and turns onto the road that leads away from campus. As I gaze out the window and watch the trees whiz by, a heavy sigh leaves my chest. Why are people such assholes sometimes?
Because they are,
he says simply.
Honestly, it's not worth getting angry over. My advice? Don't waste your time obsessing over the stupid actions of stupid people.
It's kind of hard not to when they're slandering my good name. But I know he's right. Why bother expending any mental energy on bullies like Piper Stevens? 3 years from now, I won't even remember her name.
Seriously, Grace, don't stress. You know what they say, haters be hatin' and bitches be bitchin'.
I laugh again. That's going to be my new motto.
Good. It should be.
We pass the sky blue sign with the words, "Welcome to Hastings," sprawled across it, and I peer out the window again. I grew up around the corner, I tell him. He sounds surprised.
You're from Hastings?
Yep. My dad's been a professor at Briar for 20 years. I've spent my whole life here. Rather than head for the downtown core, Logan veers off in the direction of the highway. We don't stay on it for long, though. A few exits pass, and then he gets off at the sign from Munson, the next town over. An uneasy feeling washes over me. It's so strange how a quaint, middle-class town like Hastings is equal in distance to both the campus of an Ivy League university and a town that my father, a man who doesn't curse if he can help it, refers to as a shit box. Munson consists of shabby buildings in desperate need of repairs, a handful of strip malls, and run-down bungalows with unkempt lawns. The general store we pass boasts a flickering neon sign with half the letters burnt out, and the one building I see that isn't dilapidated is a small brick church with a sign of its own. Huge block letters that spell out, "God punishes the sinners." The people of Munson really know how to roll out a welcome mat.
This is where I grew up,
Logan says gruffly. My head swivels toward him. Really? I didn't know you were local, too.
Yep.
He gives me a self-deprecating look before focusing on the pothole-ridden road ahead of us.
It's not much to look at, is it? Trust me, it's even uglier in the daylight.
The pickup bounces as we drive over a particularly deep pothole. Logan slows down, extending a hand toward my side of the windshield.
My dad's shop is one street over. He's a mechanic.
That's cool. Did he teach you a lot about cars?
Yep.
He taps the dashboard in pride.
You hear that sexy purr coming out of this baby? I rebuilt the engine myself last summer.
I'm genuinely impressed and kind of turned on because I appreciate a man who works with his hands. No, who actually knows how to use his hands. Last week, the guy who lives down the hall from me knocked on my door and asked me to help him change a light bulb. I'm not saying I'm Handy McHanderson or anything, but I'm capable of changing a frickin' light bulb. As we drive through a residential area, a burst of apprehension goes off inside me. Is he taking me to his childhood home? Because I'm not sure I'm ready for... Nope.
We're on another dirt road now, driving away from town. Another 5 minutes and we reach a large clearing. There's a water tower in the distance with a town name etched on its side, and it seems to glow in the moonlight, a stark white beacon standing out amidst the dark landscape. Logan parks 50 yards from the tower, and my pulse speeds up when I realize that's where we're going. My hands shake as I follow him toward a steel ladder that starts at the base of the tower and extends upward so high I can't see where it ends. Are we going up there? I blurt out. If so, no, thank you. I'm terrified of heights.
Ah, shit, I forgot.
He bites his lip for a second before giving me an earnest look.
Face your fear for me? I promise. It'll be worth it.
I stare at the ladder and I can feel all the color draining from my face.
Come on,
he coaxes.
You can climb up first. I'll stand down here the whole time and catch you if you fall. Scout's honor.
Fall? I screech. I wasn't even thinking about falling. Oh my God, what if I fall?
He chuckles softly. You won't. But like I said, I'll be here to catch you on the off chance it happens.
He flexes both arms as if he's a bodybuilder who just won the crown.
Look at these guns, gorgeous. You really think I can't catch all 90 pounds of you?
120 pounds, thank you very much.
Huh, I lift that in my sleep.
My gaze drifts back to the ladder. Some of the rungs are covered with rust, but when I step closer and curl my fingers around one, it seems sturdy enough. I take a calming breath. Okay, it's a water tower, not the Empire State Building, and I had promised myself I'd try new things before my freshman year was over. Fine, I mutter, but God help me, if I fall and you don't catch me, and by some miracle I survive and still have the use of my arms, I will beat you to death. His lips twitch.
Deal.
I inhale another wobbly breath and then I start to climb, one foot after the other. One foot after the other. I can totally do this. It's just a teeny little water tower. My stomach drops when I make the mistake of peering down when I near the halfway mark. Logan waits patiently below. A shard of moonlight emphasizes the encouragement gleaming in his blue eyes.
You've got this, Grace. You're doing great.
I keep going. One foot after the other. One foot after the other. When I reach the platform, relief sweeps through me. Holy shit, I'm still alive.
You good?
He shouts from the ground.
Yeah,
I shout back. Unlike me, Logan scales the ladder in a matter of seconds. He joins me on the platform, then takes my hand and leads me farther down to where the metal walkway widens, offering a nice and safe place to sit. He flops down and lets his legs dangle over the edge, grinning at my very obvious reluctance to do the same.
Ah, don't chicken out now. You've already come this far.
Ignoring the queasy churning of my stomach, I sit beside him and gingerly position my legs like his. As he slings an arm around my shoulder, I desperately nestle closer to him, trying not to look down, or up, or anywhere. For that matter.
You okay?
As long as I keep staring at my hands, then I don't have to think about plummeting 200 feet to my death.
This tower definitely isn't 200 feet tall.
Well, it's tall enough that my head will crack like a watermelon when it hits the ground.
Jeez, you really need to work on your romance technique.
I gape at him. This is supposed to be romantic? Wait, do you have a fetish for girls throwing up on you? He bursts out laughing.
You're not going to throw up.
But much to my relief, he tightens his grip around my shoulder. The
The warmth of his body is a nice distraction from my current predicament. So is his aftershave. Or is it cologne? His natural scent? Holy Moses, if it's his natural scent, then he needs to bottle that spicy fragrance up, call it orgasm, and sell it to the masses.
See that pond over there?
He asks. No. I've squeezed my eyes shut so all I can see is the inside of my eyelids. He pokes me in the ribs.
It would help if you opened your eyes. Come on, look.
I pry my eyes open and follow the tip of his finger to where he's pointing. That's a pond? It looks like a mud swamp.
Yeah, it gets muddy in the spring. But in the summer, there's actually water in there. And in the winter, it freezes over and everyone comes here to skate on it.
He pauses.
My friends and I played hockey there when I was a kid.
Was it safe to skate on?
Oh, yeah, the ice is solid. Nobody's ever fallen through it as far as I know.
There's another pause, longer and fraught with tension.
I loved coming here. It's weird, though. It seemed so much bigger when I was a kid, like I was skating on an ocean. Then, when I got older, I realized how fucking small it actually is. I can skate from one end to the other in 5 seconds. I timed it.
Things always look bigger to a kid.
I guess.
He shifts so that he can see my face.
Did you have a place like that in Hastings? Somewhere you escaped to when you were younger?
Sure. Do you know that park behind the farmer's market, the one with the pretty gazebo?
He nods.
I used to go there all the time and read. Or to talk to people if anyone was around.
The only people I've ever seen in that park are the old folks from the retirement home around the corner.
I laugh. Yeah, most of the ones I met were over 60. They told the coolest stories about the olden days. I chew on the inside of my cheek as a few not-so-cool stories come to mind. Actually, sometimes the stories were incredibly sad. They talked a lot about their families never coming to visit.
That's really depressing.
Yeah, I murmur. He lets out a ragged breath.
I'd be one of them.
You mean not getting visits from your family? Ah, I don't believe that.
No, I'd be the family member who doesn't visit.
He answers in a strained voice.
Well, that's not entirely true. I'd definitely visit my mom, but if my dad was in a home, I probably wouldn't step foot in there.
A wave of sadness washes over me. You guys don't get along?
Not really. He gets along better with a case of beer or a bottle of bourbon.
That only makes me sadder. I can't imagine not being close with my parents. As different as their personalities are, I have a strong bond with each of them. Logan goes quiet again, and I don't feel comfortable pushing for more details. If he wanted to tell me more, he would have done it. Instead, I fill the awkward void by shifting the subject back to me. I guess talking to those seniors was depressing sometimes, but I didn't mind listening. I think that's all they really wanted anyway, for someone to listen. I purse my lips. It was around that time when I decided I wanted to be a therapist. I realized I had a talent for reading people and listening to them without passing judgment.
Are you a psych major?
I will be. I didn't declare a major this year because I couldn't decide if I wanted to go the psychology route or the psychiatry one. But I decided I don't want to go to med school. Plus, psychology opens up a lot of doors that psychiatry doesn't. I could be a therapist, social worker, guidance counselor. That sounds so much more rewarding than prescribing pills. I lean my head on his shoulder as we gaze out at the small town that stretches beyond the tower. He's right. Munson's not much to look at. So I focus on the pond instead and picture Logan as a little kid. His skates flying across the ice, his blue eyes alight with wonder as he basks in the certainty that the pond is an ocean, that the world is big and bright and teeming with possibility. His tone becomes thoughtful.
So you have a talent for reading people, huh? Can you read me?
I smile. I haven't quite figured you out yet. His husky laughter warms my cheek.
I haven't quite figured me out yet, either.
Chapter 12. Grace. Confidence, Ramona declares. I'm sporting a dubious look as I watch her roll a sheer black stocking up her thigh. I had just asked her what she thinks the biggest turn-on for guys is when it comes to sex, and rather than the crude response I'd been expecting, she caught me off guard with her sincerity.
Really? Oh, yeah. She nods rapidly. Men appreciate a woman who's confident and secure with her sexuality. And a take-charge attitude doesn't hurt either. They like it when you make the first move.
I suck at making the first move, I grumble. She goes to her closet and rummages through the bottom of it, then emerges with a pair of black heels.
Look, you like him, right? Of course. And you want to have sex with him?
This time I'm slower to answer. Do I want to have sex with him? Yes. I'm not against the idea. And it's not like I'm still a virgin because I'm saving myself for the man I'm going to marry or even the love of my life. I know sex is a monumental milestone for some girls, but personally, I don't think losing my virginity is going to be the most important thing I do in my life. I'm attracted to Logan, yes. And if we end up having sex tonight, great. If we don't, that's fine too. After the way we connected at the water tower the other night, I'm more interested in dating him than getting naked. Though getting naked, or at least partially naked, is definitely on the agenda for tonight. I texted him an hour ago asking him to come over, and Ramona has already agreed to let me have the room for the night. Despite the fact that she's still hungover from yesterday, she's promised to stay out until midnight. It's only 7 now, which gives Logan and me plenty of time to hang out and maybe have sex. Or maybe not have sex. I've decided to play it by ear.
Grace! I snap out of my thoughts. Yeah, I guess I want to sleep with him, if the moment is right.
Then you've got to separate yourself from the crowd.
I wrinkle my forehead.
Meaning what? Oh, come on. Do you realize how many girls he slept with? A frickin' harem. And he's John Logan, babe. I bet he's got crazy moves. You don't want to be just another chick he bats those baby blues at and screws silly. You want to be confident and sexy and take control. Show him he's met his match.
I bite my lip. Confident and sexy isn't my style. And taking control? I've always been more comfortable sitting in the passenger side while someone else takes the wheel.
Oh, and you need to show him how kinky you are. That you're up for anything.
Nervous laughter tickles my throat.
Uh-huh. How am I supposed to do that?
I don't know. Stick your finger in his ass when you're blowing him. I almost choke on my tongue.
What?
Ramona flashes a cheeky smile.
Oh, God, you really are a virgin, huh? Ass play can be a lot of fun.
I don't want anyone near my ass, thank you very much, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't want me near his.
Ha! You have no idea how hard a guy gets off from a good prostate massage.
Seriously, he'll be coming like nobody's business.
I'm not giving him a prostate massage, I say primly.
We stare at each other for a moment, then burst out laughing, and it feels good to laugh with her again. I don't even care anymore that she planted the seed that Maya and Piper then used to grow a tree of bullshit. Ramona is my best friend, and I've known her since we were 6 years old. Is she selfish sometimes? Yes. Does she gossip too much? Absolutely.
But she's also sweet and loyal, and she's always there for me when I need her.
All right, don't finger his ass, she relents. But I'm serious about the confidence thing. It'll drive him wild.
I'll do my best. She narrows her eyes, giving my outfit a thorough once-over.
You're changing before he gets here, right?
I glance at my tight jeans and skimpy white tank top. What's wrong with what I'm wearing? Actually, don't answer that. I'm comfy, and I'm not going to change the way I dress because of a guy.
Fine, but ditch the bra.
She waggles her eyebrows. Then he'll be able to see your nips through your shirt, and he'll be hot and bothered from the word go.
I'll take that into consideration.
Ramona smacks a kiss on my cheek, then lets out a little squeal.
Oh my God, I can't believe you're going to have sex for the first time tonight.
If the moment is right, I remind her.
Babe, it's John Logan, she says with a grin. There's nothing wrong about it.
Logan, come over tonight. I've been staring at Grace's text message ever since I got out of the shower, which was, 38 minutes ago. Wait, I look at the alarm clock. Make that 39 minutes. I really ought to message back. I haven't spoken to her since Thursday. Granted, that isn't an obscene amount of time, considering it's Saturday and she had dinner plans with her father yesterday. So technically, I've only been avoiding her for a day and a half. She doesn't know I'm avoiding her, though. If she did, she wouldn't have invited me over. The way I see it, I have three options. Option one, ignore the invitation. And if she texts again, ignore that too. And then keep ignoring her until she gets the message that I'm not interested. Which is a whopping lie, because I am interested. I have fun with her. And if I weren't so fucked in the head about this Hannah thing, I'd absolutely keep seeing Grace. Christ, I shouldn't have allowed Thursday's impromptu date to happen. It's not fair to lead her on like this. Which brings me to option two. Message back, decline the invitation, and tell her I can't see her again because of insert bullshit excuse here. Except, well, I've been brushed off via text before, and it fucking sucks. So that leaves option three. Go over there and talk to her in person. That's the mature course of action, the one I should definitely take. But the thought of glimpsing even a shred of hurt or disappointment in her eyes makes me sick to my stomach. Man up already. Fuck. I guess it's time to pull up my big boy pants. Be a man, rub some dirt in it, and all that shit. After our night at the water tower, Grace deserves a hell of a lot more than a text brush off. Stifling a sigh, I drop the towel I've been wearing for the last 42 minutes now. I grab a pair of clean boxers and jeans, zip up, and throw on a black sweater my mom got me for Christmas. It's tighter than the shirts I normally wear, but it's the first thing I find in my dresser, and I'm in too much of a hurry to change. I swipe my phone off the bed and text Grace. Me. When? Her. Now, if you want. She punctuates that with a smiley face. Shit. Me. On my way. 10 minutes later, I kill the engine in the parking lot behind the dorms and head for Fairview House. When I reach her door, I'm overcome with hesitation and a major case of nerves. I take a deep breath. Fuck, it's not like I'm breaking up with her. We're not even a couple. I'm simply letting her know that I'm not in a good place to continue things at the moment. Doesn't mean it's forever over. It's just right now over. Right now over? Brilliant, man. You're going to awe her with your lyrical prose. I knock, armed with my very unimpressive parting speech. But when the door swings open, I don't get a chance to open my mouth. Actually, scratch that. I don't get a chance to voice any words. My mouth is open,
because Grace yanks me into her dark bedroom and kisses me, and if my mouth was closed, then how is her tongue supposed to get inside it? The kiss is completely unexpected and hotter than anything I've ever experienced in my life. She wraps her arms around my neck and backs me into the still open door. It closes when my shoulders bump into it, and suddenly I'm pinned between the door and Grace's soft, warm body. Her lips tease mine until I can't see straight. And then she eases back breathlessly.
I've wanted to do that all day.
She leans in again. Oh, fuck. Don't let her kiss you again. Don't. My tongue tangles with hers in another hot duel. Damn it. I plant my hands on her hips, intending to gently push her away. But I no longer have control over my own fingers. They slide lower and dig into her firm ass, pulling her closer instead of away. With her mouth still locked with mine, she grabs the bottom of my sweater and tugs it up. Somehow I find the willpower to break the kiss. What are you doing? I croak.
Taking your clothes off.
Oh, shit. Shit, shit, shit. The only reason I allow her to remove my sweater is because the material is now caught around my chin and neck, and I need my mouth in order to speak to her, in order to stop this. But then she tosses the fabric aside and touches my bare chest, and my brain short circuits. She delicately strokes her fingertips over my abdomen and makes a breathy sound, half moan, half whimper, and so sexy it sends a sizzle of lust right to my cock. My balls tighten, drawing up painfully when her fingers find my belt buckle. Grace, instead of finishing that sentence, I groan loudly, because holy fucking shit, she doesn't just slide my pants off. She slides to her knees as she does it. I'm pretty sure I've just secured myself a place in hell for this. I came over tonight to end it, and instead I'm thrusting my dick into her warm, wet mouth. God damn whoever invented blowjobs. They feel too damn good, and they do terrible things to your mind. AKA drain it of all lucid thought. I can't focus on anything other than the tight suction around the head of my cock. The exploratory path of Grace's tongue as she licks her way up and down my shaft before sucking on the tip again. One hand instinctively tangles in her hair, trembling as I cup the back of her head to bring her closer. She moans, and the sound vibrates through me, a seductive promise that sends me teetering closer to the edge. Christ, I have no idea how long she kneels there working me over, but suddenly I'm consumed with the need to touch her, to run my hands all over her body and drive her as crazy as she's driving me right now. With a strangled noise, I pull out of her mouth and haul her to her feet. Then I'm kissing her again, frantically clawing at her clothes until she's naked. Oh, sweet Jesus, she's naked. How the hell, in the span of 5 minutes, did I let this get so out of control? But I can't fucking stop. I can't stop kissing her. I can't stop squeezing her tits. I can't stop myself from leading her to the bed and lowering my body on top of her. My cock is pinned between our bodies, a heavy weight on her flat stomach, and the base of it grinds against her clit as we kiss so deeply, it's like we're trying to swallow each other up. Stop this, a sharp voice reprimands. Hell, I can't. I want her too much. Stop this. Yeah, that voice is my conscience, trying to prevent me from making a serious mistake. So why can't I listen to it? Why can't I? Grace breaks the kiss and looks up at me with hazy brown eyes. And suddenly all her bravado is gone. The confident, sexy woman who mauled me at the door has transformed into a shy, blushing girl who says,
So, listen, I've never had sex before.
Oh, fuck. Those 5 words crack my heart in two. Son of a bitch. No way. There's absolutely no way I can do this to her. Fooling around with her when I know I'm going to end it? Reprehensible. But taking her virginity? Unforgivable. Oh, and my place in hell. Still solidly secured. Silence stretches between us as I struggle for the right words to say, which is damn difficult when we're both naked. when my dick's so hard, it could cut a diamond in half. She lets out a shaky breath.
Is that a problem for you?
I open my mouth and say, yes. Grace looks startled.
What?
I mean, no. There's nothing wrong with being a virgin, but we can't do this. I stumble off the bed with as much grace as a newborn foal. Seriously, my legs are wobbling all over the place as I hurriedly scan the room for my pants. I can feel her watching me, her eyes boring into me. I don't want to look over because I know she's still naked, but I can't stop myself from sneaking a peek, and her hurt expression rips my chest apart. I'm sorry, I say roughly. I can't do this. This is your first time and you deserve something. Someone. So much better than me for your first time. She doesn't utter a word, but even in the darkness I can see the deep flush on her cheeks, and she's biting her lower lip as if she's trying not to cry. Her silence deepens the guilt coursing through my veins. I'm in such a fucked up place right now. I have a lot of fun with you, but I swallow. I can't give you anything serious. She finally speaks, her voice tight and laced with embarrassment.
I'm not asking you to marry me, Logan.
I know.
But
sex is serious, okay? Especially for a virgin. I trip over the words, feeling like a total asshole. You don't want to do this with me, Grace. I'm screwed in the head. And I guess I've been trying to distract myself from all the bullshit in my life and trying to get over someone else and...
Someone else?
She interrupts. And now there's a thread of anger in her tone.
You're interested in someone else?
Yes. No, I say quickly. Then I groan. I thought I was. And maybe I still am. I don't know, okay? All I know is that this girl has had me tied up in knots for months. And it's not fair to you if we do this when I trail off, too confused and uncomfortable to go on. Avoiding my eyes, Grace bolts off the bed and grabs a t-shirt from the back of the desk chair.
You are using me to get over someone else?
She yanks the shirt over her head.
I was your distraction?
No.
I promise, I like you a lot.
I cringe at the pleading note in my voice. I wasn't intentionally using you.
You're so fucking amazing, but I...
Oh my God, no, she cuts in.
Please, just shut up, Logan. I can't handle the it's not you, it's me speech right now.
She rakes both hands through her hair, her breathing becoming shallow.
Oh God, this was such a mistake.
Grace, she interrupts again.
Will you do me a favor?
It's difficult to speak past the massive lump lodged in my throat. Anything.
Leave.
The lump damn near chokes me. I inhale deeply, ignoring the burning sensation in my throat, the ache in my chest.
I mean it. Just leave, okay?
She meets my gaze head on.
I really, really want you to go right now.